the Bible tells us in John chapter 16, verse number 13, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come."
Each day on my way, he gets sweeter to me.
Come to you again today by way of radio, and we're delighted that you've tuned in to the Spirit of Truth broadcast with Pastor Andrew Kerrigan of the Morning Star Baptist Church down in Pacolet, South Carolina. We're delighted that you've joined us today by way of radio, whether you're down in the Myrtle Beach area around Wilmington, North Carolina, or out in southeastern Dakotas, South Dakota, or wherever you may be listening to this broadcast today. We're delighted that you're with us. You've been listening to the Morning Star Trio, and we'll have them on in just a moment again. But let me tell you, their CDs are available. If you would write, and we'll give you the information, if you'll just write to us, you can contact us by sending an email to andrewkerrigan@bellsouth.net, or you can write Pastor Andrew Kerrigan of Morning Star Baptist Church, 150 Old Spartanburg Highway, Pacolet, South Carolina 29372, or you can visit our website at www.morningstarbaptistchurch.com. So these CDs are available, and we'd like to get them out to you, and if you would contact us, we'll let you know how you can get those. Well, listen to the trio as they sing another song just now. "I'm glad sweet heaven is going to fix it all." Aren't you, neighbor? Thank God. I'm glad that God has made a way whereby we can have things fixed one day after another. So you listen to the trio as they sing.
No.
glad, neighbor, that sweet heaven is going to fix it all. I'm glad that God has a way that he's going to fix all of these things one day after a while. But until that day comes, I'm glad that God has given us grace whereby we might serve him. I love that verse that I've discovered over in 2 Corinthians 9 and 8. And God is able to make all grace to abound toward you, that in all things you may have the sufficiency for the work whereunto he has called you. I'm glad that God's grace is sufficient for every need. And so today we just rest upon the grace of God. I'm glad that it's been God's grace that saved me. I'm saved by the marvelous grace of God, and not only saved by God's marvelous grace, but I'm glad that it is God's grace that keeps us and it preserves us, and it's going to be God's grace going to take us on. I like that old song, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And get down to that third stanza, especially when it talks about through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. It's been grace that's brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead us on. And so until we get to the end of the journey and step off on heaven's sweet shores, I'm glad that God has grace that is sufficient for us. Well, we began a message last week about this man called Gideon, and how the angel of the Lord came and found Gideon threshing out his wheat down by the wine press, found him full of fear and discouraged, and beloved, being beat down by the enemy. And the angel of the Lord came and spoke to him, and at verse number 12 in Judges chapter 6, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And I said to you that Gideon had a personal encounter with the Lord himself. And then I also realized, and I spoke to you about the fact that we need that personal encounter with the Lord ourselves. And beloved, I'm glad that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above that which we're able to ask or even think. And so it's my prayer and my hope today that somehow God will touch us with his word, and God will touch us by the power of the Holy Ghost of God and empower us and enable us for the work that God has set before us. And this is what God is doing in the life of this man Gideon. Remember, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and God sent the enemy against them as chastening until the children of Israel began to cry out unto the Lord. And God heard their cry, and now God is going to deliver them and is going to use an unlikely candidate, and this man is Gideon. And so the angel of the Lord appeared unto Gideon there and spoke to him and gave him these words that he's going to be with him. Now, as Gideon submitted and surrendered himself unto the Lord, and here's the secret, beloved, of going further with God, is being submissive to the will of God. Here Gideon submitted himself to the will of God. Oh, he put up a pretty good argument. He said he did like a lot of us do. Beloved, he began to look at his own weaknesses instead of the strengths of the Lord. But the angel of the Lord reminded him and spoke to him and encouraged him and told him that it wouldn't be in Gideon's weakness, but it would be in the strength of the Lord, that God would deliver the Midianites into his hand. And so now we come into our message today in verse number 25, and I want to take up reading there in verse 25 of Judges chapter number 6. Well, actually, I want to drop back to verse number 22, where it says, and when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock even the second bullock of 7 years, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock, and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants, and did as the Lord had said unto him, and so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. Beloved, I want to, just as Gideon had a personal encounter with the Lord, I want to speak to you today about Gideon's work or his service unto the Lord. I think about the great apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse number 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Now, beloved, judged by the wisdom of the world, this seems to be a strange statement. The seeming absurdity is partly explained by his previous utterance in verse number 9, where Paul said, most gladly, therefore will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, beloved, Gideon in himself was weak and uninfluential. But now that the presence and the peace of the Lord was with him and in him, he now becomes what God saw that he would be, a mighty man of valor. I want to say to you, my dear friend, do not be too quick to judge people. We cannot see what is in them, but I am glad that there is a God in heaven that can look into the heart of that man, that can look into the heart of that woman, that boy, that girl that you and I may never see any potential in, but I'm glad that God is able to see things that we're not able to see. Beloved, Gideon is not a man that we would have chosen to have delivered the children of Israel. No, Gideon was not a man that you and I would have picked for that task. And I'm glad that my friend God doesn't see things the way we see them. I'm glad God does not do things the way we would do them. I'm glad that God has a way of doing things His way, and His way always works. And so here God saw in this man something that nobody else would have seen. God saw a mighty man of valor. God saw here a man that would submit himself to the will of God. I want to say to you that are listening to this preacher today by way of radio or by the way of internet or by the way of this CD copy, beloved, God is looking for people that will submit themselves to the will of God. Oh, beloved, what a joy it is to get up in the morning and put your feet on the floor and look into the face of God and say, Thy will be done today. What a joy it brings in one's heart. What a peace it brings to one's soul. Beloved, listen, it's yet to be seen what God could do with one man that would completely yield himself unto God. Here is a man that is willing to yield himself unto the Lord, and beloved, God is going to use this man. Now, God is saying to Gideon, now that he's had a personal encounter with the Lord, God is saying to Gideon, now, I've got a work for you to do. Could I just say to you out there that are listening to this broadcast today, if you've been saved by the marvelous grace of God, God has a work for you to do. Are you engaged in the work of the Lord, or are you still timid and fearful that you cannot do what God has called you to do? You'll never be able to do that in your strength. You'll never be able to do that because, beloved, if we're not careful, we'll succumb to our weaknesses instead of God's strength. And so today, I want you to notice where Gideon began his work. God called him to a work. In verse number 25, he began his work at home. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. I want to say to you, beloved, it takes a lot of courage to make a start and then take a stand for God and for righteousness among our own kinfolk. I have heard people say, well, the hardest place in the world to witness is among your own kinfolk. It may be hard, but I want to tell you, my dear friend, it doesn't make any difference where it is. If God's done a work of grace in our heart, it is among those that we're closest to that needs to see that God has done a work of grace in our heart. Do not be fearful. Be courageous and witness and testify and let people see that God has done a work in your heart. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verse number 19, Jesus said that to the demoniac of Gadara, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. You see, beloved, people in our home ought to know where we stand. And so Gideon began the work that God called him to do. He began at home. And then I want you to notice in verse number 27, he began at once. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. No time was lost. These 10 men were in full sympathy with the Lord and was ready at once to follow God's man in the needed work for the Lord. Beloved, listen, I'm glad that God has people prepared to follow the man of God. Oh, what we need to see in our day is men of courage, men that'll just follow God, men that'll stand up and say, this is what thus saith the Lord, and this is what God wants done. This is what God wants done in the home. Mister, you'd be surprised how many there are that would follow you if you would just take your stand for God. I mean, don't be wishy-washy. Don't be up and down. Don't be like the thermometer. You're warm one day and cold the next. But be consistent in your living for Christ and be committed to the cause of Christ. Submit yourself to the will of God and purpose in your heart that you're going to do whatsoever the Lord has commissioned you to do. And beloved, God will give you somebody to stand with you. You see, my friend, you have to be in tune with the Lord. Oh, God, give us men and women and young people that are in tune with the Lord. You see, these men, these 10 men that Gideon took with him to do this work, these were men that were in tune with God. I want to say to you, my dear friend, if you're not in tune with God, your music's all messed up. The music of your life is not playing as it should be. Oh, we need to be in tune with God. And so the call was clear. People that are right and in tune with the Lord never hesitate to follow God's man in the cause for Christ. You see, the Master is come and calleth for you. So why do you linger? Mary lingered in the house. Lazarus had died 4 days, had gone by, and yet she had lingered. Oh, beloved, let us not linger when we know what it is that God wants us to do. And so we see where he began. And so let's look at what he did. There was a pulling down in verse 25. Throw down the altar of Baal. The altar of Baal represented that which was false and deceptive and opposed to the will and the rule of God. Every God usurping thing around us or within us must be overthrown and thrown down. Dethroned, if you please. 1 Corinthians 10 and 6 says, now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10, with verse number 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Oh, beloved, not only was there a tearing down, but there was also a building up. Look at verse 26. And build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. You see, beloved, it's not enough to undeceive the worshipers of false gods. The true God must be put in their place. It's not enough to empty our hearts of the things of this world. We must be able to put something better in its place. We turn, the Bible says, from idols to God. To preach Christ and Him crucified is to build up the altar of the Lord. We're all preaching something by the way that we live. You see, the Bible does say that our lives are living epistles read of all men. And so, beloved, listen, I'm glad that God took something out of my heart. Sometimes I just get out and I pray this prayer: God, empty me of any and everything that is displeasing to you. And then, Lord, just fill me with thyself. Oh, God, just fill me with thy mighty power. God, fill me with thy spirit. God, just fill me that you might be able to get honor and praise and glory to from my life. And when Gideon did this, I want you to notice what followed. Such definite action will always be accompanied with very positive results. There came, oh beloved, a changed attitude. The Bible says in verse 30, then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he might die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. You see, beloved, death in one form or another is forever the world's penalty for faithfulness to God. The men of the city, who mind earthly things, are always opposed to the man of God who seek first the kingdom of God. But the servant is not greater than his master. Beloved, one of the first evidences of faithfulness to Christ is the opposition of the ungodly. We need to understand and realize when we go into service for God, there is going to be opposition. Sometimes it's very severe. Sometimes it comes in various and different ways. And sometimes it comes in avenues that you think not. But I want you to notice, my friend, this resulted in a changed name. Verse 32, therefore on that day he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. Let Baal plead. Baal's antagonist. Oh, beloved, it's a blessed stigma to be called a hater of false gods, an enemy to ignorance and superstition. When a person becomes a new creature in Christ, it's only fitting that he get a new name. Oh, beloved, today, I'm glad that when we're saved by the grace of God, God gives us a name, and that name is Christian. And the Bible says they were first called Christians at Antioch because they were called Christians because they were Christ-like. And so I'm glad that I have been given a new name, and it's Christian. Oh, my friend, how he was encouraged by the anointing of the Spirit. The Bible says in verse 34, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. Fitness for service of the Lord can only be found in the Spirit of the Lord. The blowing of the gospel trumpet by a man clothed with the power of God will surely be effectual in gathering people after him. Acts 1 and 8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Oh, beloved, think about how God is wanting to use you in His service today. I want to ask you this question today. Are you ready for the work of the Lord? You see, every child of God has this twofold witness about him. There is the Spirit of God within him, and then there is the special token of the working of God without. Prayer and providence work together. Remember, Gideon put out a fleece, and he asked God to show him some things, and God showed him some things. God confirmed to Gideon that he was going to be with him. God confirmed to Gideon that he could trust him. Oh, beloved, I'm glad today that we can trust the Lord with all our heart. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, verse number 6, to acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he shall direct thy paths. I'm glad the Bible tells us that God is able to make all grace to abound toward you, that in all things you may have the sufficiency. I'm glad the Bible tells us in Isaiah 41:10, be thou not afraid, for I am with thee. Be thou not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee by the right hand of my righteousness. Oh, beloved, I'm glad today that we can trust God. And I want to ask you today that are listening to this broadcast, as we come to the close of our broadcast today, are you ready to work for the Lord? We dare not enter upon any work for God while any known sin is casting its deadly shadow upon us. Are you seeking to do something for God today? There's a big question mark there. Begin by plucking out the eye that offends, by throwing down the altar of the false gods that are within you. Lay the axe to the root of the tree, and at any risk or cost, clear yourself of any complicity with sin. Then you may begin your work. Be bold in a right cause. Do not quail before risk and danger, because no great work was ever done without it. Beloved, listen, put your trust in the Lord. Don't lean to your understanding. And if our work is of God, danger will fade away before His almighty hand. I'm glad the Bible tells us, beloved, that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above that which we're able to ask or even think. I'm glad the Bible tells us, I believe it's in Romans 8:31, that if God be for us, who can be against us? The angel said to Gideon, go in this thy might, I will be with thee. I'm glad God's promised that He would go with us even to the end of the age. And so, my dear friend, God can brush away the difficulties. God can brush away every hindrance that threatens us like cobwebs. Oh, my friend, enthusiasm, commitment, and courage, coupled with a sound mind, are among the great needs of our day. Are you enthusiastic about doing something for God? Are you committed to the cause of Christ? Beloved, do you have that courage in your heart, knowing that God is going to be with you? Or do you have that sound mind as the mind of Christ in you? I'm glad God's looking for some people with these characteristics in their life. Beloved, let me encourage you to be courageous in the cause of Christ today. Well, it's been a joy to be with you again today. I trust the broadcast has been a blessing to you. And let me just say once again, beloved, if you enjoy the broadcast, if the broadcast is being a blessing to you, why don't you drop us a line at Pastor Andrew Carrigan, Morning Star Baptist Church, 150 Old Spartanburg Highway, down in Pacolet, South Carolina. Or you can email us at andrewcarrigan@bellsouth.net. Oh, beloved, listen to the trio as they sing, and if you'd like to have one of their CDs, you contact us and we'll see that you get a copy. Honor, to His praise, His glory. Oh, so good to be saved today.
Day by day.